For some individuals, it seems that the overriding concern or philosophy of life is that it consists of relationships. This view places great emphasis on the I and the not I as being necessary for human fulfillment, and thus relationships will be the major concern and the major problem as well. This view, however, is so foreign to me, I can say little about it, but it seems obvious that if we try to complete ourselves by going out to the other, in quotations, the not I, before turning inward to the true other, we are making a wrong turn, a tragic mistake. It is only when we realize our oneness with the true other that we come upon a unity and wholeness that can withstand the test of all encounters with other selves. In this way, no matter what happens in our relations with the outside world, we are not fragmented, we do not fall apart, become lost, dependent, or see problems where there are none. It is only after we come upon the true other, the still point at the center of our being, that we find the key to a powerful sense of security and independence that then allows us to go out to others, to be generous, to give them their freedom, to be open-minded and understanding. If for some reason we do not find this inner resource, we have no choice but to grasp at what is without. And it is this premature movement outward instead of inward that gives rise to all problems in relationships. The real problem in life, then, is not between people, but between the individual and his true other. But let us say we have found our wholeness in God. What then is our relationship with others? Since what we see and love in others is only what we see and love in ourselves, it follows that having found God within, we can now love others as we love ourselves. Love in them the same true other we love in ourselves. And since love of God is beyond the affective system, so too is our love for others. Later, in discussing this emotional love versus love for God, I came to the conclusion that although the emotions may or may not be the effect of love, they are not love per se. Basically, then, love for others is a strong will not to hurt them, as well as desiring for them the same good we desire for ourselves. Thus, I was convinced at an early age that love was not an emotion, and as I moved through a lifetime of experiences, I never learned anything to the contrary. Such a non-emotional basis of love will not be understood by everyone, yet it is easy to see how problems arise in relationships when love is based on our emotions. I have met individuals who cannot form a lasting friendship apart from emotional involvement and attachment, where the other is expected to reflect, like a mirror, their own moods, humors, ideas, and schemes. And if the other does not respond in like manner, they go elsewhere, find someone else. Nevertheless, seeing God in others is not the same as seeing Him in ourselves. Because where our seeing is an immediate subjective movement inward, to see Him in others, we move outward to see the individual first and God second. But once seen, God is that quality in another that forever remains undefinable, untouchable, can never be possessed or even adequately communicated. This then was my outlook on the other and relationships before the journey began, and why, with the falling away of the affective system, there were no changes in personal relationships, although there was, in fact, a change in the way of knowing others. where before I had seen the individual first and his true other second, now the true other is seen first, and the individual, well, I do not really see him at all, not at least as before. Instead of a self, I see ideas, behaviors, decisions, struggles, and much more, but I do not see a self because it has been paled or effaced by what is really there. Once again, we can only see in others what we see in ourselves. So when there is no self, there is also no other. Multiplicity ultimately fades away, leaving only the one.